Here's a fact. Having all the money doesn't mean you get to control the conversation. Just check Twitter these days. You know who I'm talking about. Musicians have more power than they know, and they can change the conversation and the culture by telling a story that rhymes with the world around them. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and I'm here to say that as marketers, we can all change our corner of the world while promoting our music. Would it surprise you to know that in 2003, pharmaceutical companies spent more on marketing than on research? Back when television only had three channels, it was considered the golden age of marketing. Television commercials were created for the mass market. So fast forward to the 21st century. Today, consumers are skeptical of commercials geared to the masses. And this is good news for entrepreneurs because there's no way we can compete with the mega companies like Disney, Andrea Bocelli, Broadway, and the likes. Today, the mass marketing of television and radio are dwindling, while the micro-marketing of the internet reaches smaller demographics and smaller audiences, but reaches farther. And most of us have the tools to reach our people. We can make our own commercials or videos, have a website, or just use social media. It can be as simple or as sophisticated as you want. Changing your message to a micro-market means first naming your audience. What holds them together as a demographic? Let's say it's classical music lovers, which in my opinion is a very good choice if you're playing classical music. But you can plan to reach more than just classical music lovers. You can make your business plan include outreach and education. Or maybe you want to bring in Gen Z with some electric instruments. Just make sure your music is geared towards the audience you're working with. Now you need to work on your narrative. So, what's your story? When you start to focus on selling your product, step away from thinking of music as a commodity. People don't show up because they need music in their lives, even though they probably do. They come because you told them a story that makes them want to hear your music.
Hello everyone. So yes, this is a viola. It looks like a violin, but it's a little bit deeper in sound and a little bit bigger. There you go. Here, can everyone see it? So I'm also 6'4", so it might look like a violin on me, but it is in fact a viola. So that's it's sort of the middle child of the string family. You don't hear it as much as the other instruments, but it's just as important. It gives like harmony and it sort of provides a good like texture for the music. So I'm originally not from here. I'm from Florida. That's where I was born and raised. I moved to this cold place to go to Carnegie Mellon. But yeah, I've fallen in love with the city. It definitely feels like home to me now. And then, yeah, in the meantime, this is my first year out of school. So I've been teaching a lot and I've been playing weddings, church services, orchestras, all that stuff. And yeah, I enjoy playing for different communities and meeting new people.
Of course, it's important to make the best music, the best product, and the best experience for your customers. Otherwise, you'll have a very short run. So let's assume you have a great show. Your story not only gets the audience to come, it gets them to tell others about you so you can grow. Ralph Ferris found a niche with his electric string quartet, Ethel.
We are coming up on our 25th anniversary. We came together in 1998, and the original inspiration was to celebrate community, truly. The composers, the entire art world, really, of our hometown, New York City. And then by extension, to grow across the country and the planet.
Over the 25 years, Ethel has become a brand because the process repeated itself again and again. Here's a marketing plan. 1. Tell your story. 2. Have your audience tell others. 3. Repeat. Rachel Aiken started a business and she named it Stellare Strings. She knew her target audience and began organizing classical music for occasions as a solo electric violinist, as a person to put together orchestras for acts like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, as a provider of concerts to community events like the one we played this month at Pittsburgh Center for the Arts, or something as simple as a wedding band. She tells her audiences her story.
You know, creative projects fizzle. You need momentum. And so there, I saw that there was a huge disconnect. Not only that, but I always try to encourage the Stellare musicians to be more personable and funny and more tangible so that we feel more connected with our audience, that this isn't something that's just for rich kids. This is for everybody. We started to also cross genres. Then I started experimenting with electric violin. Now I'm really into it, and now I'm getting into all the techie stuff, and I'm trying to rebrand, and we've been wildly successful. I'm so lucky to work with these wonderful musicians.
Rachel not only found a niche to get started, she planned her next moves. So now I want to talk about the component in marketing I implied at the very beginning of this podcast, which is humility. And what we mean by humility in this case is giving up on the idea that you are in control of the conversation. The market is who decides what's hot, what works, and who's winning. Everything can change in a heartbeat, and being ready, looking for the next wave, is the marketer's dilemma. It was first called the Red Queen hypothesis, but it's also been called the curse of the Red Queen. And it was coined from Alice in Wonderland. Alice was playing chess, and the Red Queen would change the rules whenever she moved. And finally, Alice realized that the game was more about preparing for change than any of the moves she could make. So what are the rules in marketing your band? What works? Maybe start by identifying some strategies that classical music organizations use today. Tim and Colleen Tan have a quartet that they've been working with for 25 years. It's called the Lake String Quartet, and they play in the Lake Hotel in Yellowstone June, July, and August, 5 nights a week. The quartet has a library spanning Mozart, Shostakovich, Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, and world music. People pack the room, and the quartet is known throughout the valley. And here's another one. Tribute bands. Small theaters want bands to do actual impersonations or covers of particular artists or groups, like the Beatles, John Denver, or Michael Jackson. And symphonies are playing with these bands in front of them. This year, it's been a lot of Star Wars. It's the 45th anniversary, and in the tri-state area, no less than 5 orchestras have jumped on this bandwagon. Some orchestras are playing along with the movie on the screen. And here's one last one. Oldies bands or superstars doing one last tour. This year, it's Elton John. Will he really stop touring? It doesn't matter. The Red Queen can change the rules. You can get in on the action too, play Star Wars for an encore, or present a concert with video in the background. Or you can just stay in your lane and play classical music. Lots of people are still finding their audience this way. The key seems to be just begin your business with a lot of patience and willingness to adapt and creativity. But to draw your audience, you need to start with a story. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to express myself. I wanted to learn about the music of Africa. These could all be the start, or you can just tell it like it is. So you have the Beach Boys, and they have 3 dozen hits, more than any other band in history, including the Beatles. So that's the end of the story. What about the beginning of the story? It could sound a lot like your own. 3 brothers, a father, and a cousin, a garage band. Father Murray was the first agent. Brothers Brian, Carl, and Dennis, with cousin Mike Love, drew their music from the 50s and established their own sound, the California sound. You can do a certain sound and you want to be evolving or running in order to stay in place, as the Queen dictates. So getting the word out to the right people, telling your story, and getting others to tell their friends, maybe it's time to build a website, because your website can tell your story. You could actually put on the very front page, "My Story." It's been done, it's blunt, but it works. Maybe you prefer to be subtle, because humans actually can pick up on clues in a single glance. The colors, the fonts, and the format are a very effective way to tell your story. I served on the Pittsburgh Musicians Union Executive Board for 15 years, and in 2010, I got to see how a website is built when we hired a designer. You can make your own on Squarespace, so I thought I'd share with you some things I learned. The first thing our designer did was to research every AFM local website. His personal goal was to make Pittsburgh's the very best, and he found 52 locals had a seemingly decent website, and he looked to see what they offered. The Pittsburgh website would offer services for both music buyers and members. He was actually addressing the question of who is the website for. It's for people looking to hire musicians, and members looking for information about meetings, dues, price lists, and more. When it comes to colors, well, using black and gold also says Pittsburgh, because they are our city colors for the Steelers, the Pirates, and the Penguins. The Steelers and the Penguins both use Pantone 1235C, Pittsburgh Gold, and the Pirates use Pantone 123C. The bridges in Pittsburgh are done in Aztec Yellow. If you want your website to signal Pittsburgh, you can use one of these colors or something in black and gold. The Union website has a very subtle gold line and some black in the background. It also has just a small portion of the national logo and, of course, the Pittsburgh Musicians Union Local 60-471 at the very top. That's a lot of information. And then there's fonts. Your font can say a lot about your business. You would be surprised how important they are for customer recognition. If a company has an established font, they probably don't want to move away from it. It might get modernized, but it should stay the same. Think of Dunkin' Donuts. They changed their name to Dunkin', but they kept the colors and the fonts, and their identity remained intact. And Coca-Cola uses a really old-fashioned calligraphy for its logo. It tells a story about how long it's been around. You might not have a logo, but your font can stand in its place. Is your music speaking to the classical crowd, or a trendier crowd, or maybe both? So spend some time looking at the font and the colors for your website. It's the first story you tell. A family-run pizzeria opened up in Westview. It's named Severino. And the first time I walked in, the place spoke to me as somewhere I wanted to eat, hang out, and tell my friends about. A Starbucks-sized espresso machine was on the right wall. A giant chalkboard above the register described the drinks, including fancy bar drinks it served. A gelato case was up front, and there were some art pieces from Venice on the shelves, an Italian porcelain-tiled table where you could wait for your pickup. How did I know so quickly that it was the place for me? It turns out this family had owned a few restaurants and pizzerias in Pittsburgh over several generations. Severino was a product of decades of marketing knowledge. They wanted to recreate their business. It's not just pizza, but that's how they got noticed. The neighborhood all jumped on board and ordered pizza. And soon they built a patio with tables, umbrellas, flower boxes, and a small parking area. Bar was added. By the next summer, the place was hopping. People at work downtown started mentioning it. "Hey, I was in your neighborhood. There's this great Italian place," my friend Jenny Gerhard said. And it turns out Pittsburgh opera bass baritone Kevin Glavin goes there a few times a week. I watched that business grow from day one. They opened in the middle of the pandemic, and they started as a neighborhood pizzeria, but they became a niche. They turned into the Little Italy. Stories don't have to be about the mundane work you do to be at the top of your trade, the hours, the school. They should cast a light on the glamour, the struggle, or the heroic work you do.
Originally, actually, Ethel was deeply involved with the cleanup and recovery at 9/11 at St. Paul's Chapel after the attacks of 9/11. the St. Paul's Chapel was known as the Miracle Church, and we were there for many, many months doing that work.
Be on the lookout for the most popular stories of the day. Is it Star Wars? Is it hardship? Is it stars becoming regular people? Think of Meghan and Harry. Maybe you can present your stories to audiences that way. Be regular. Be watchable. It's what sells, I guarantee. Tell your story and find your audience. Thanks for supporting live music. Have a great week. And if you want some great gelato or quiche, I'll post Severino's deets in the show notes at accelerandocast.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.